When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, hey. Really the only thing that gon' be normal is distribution. Normal folks gon' infuse some. Optimize your lineups and you feed the rest, you mute them. Turning it up, these numbers are loud. Peeping this game from a nimbus is wild. Making it rain while I embrace all this risk, I'm insane. Talking about that best bell, I'm the best, best, best tail. Into the next world, guess I got next still. Best bell, I'm the best, best, rest till into the next world. Guess I got next still.
And welcome to the Best Bell Fantasy Football Podcast and live stream. I'm Bradley Stalder. Tonight, we're going to have a lot of fun talking about some roster construction. When you're drafting your best ball team, it's so important that you set up your team for success. You've got from September to January to weather the NFL season storm. You have to manage injuries. Games are canceled. Weather. Players lost their jobs, and you need to prepare for all of that without waivers, without trades. That means you need to construct your team to minimize risk and maximize the opportunity to get as many points as you can in your league and maybe in the entire tournament. So when you are drafting, you're not drafting necessarily for the most optimal lineup that's possibly possible, but you are drafting to be better than your league mates. And those who don't have a grasp of roster construction and identifying, as one of my friends, Todd Burrows, likes to say, identifying the bumpers, then you're going to be in a lot of trouble. But we have data to support the ways in which we think about constructing our rosters for best ball, especially in these best ball mania for tournaments. We have data from Best Ball Mania 3. I'm going to share some of that with you. I'm also going to share some of the works of Hayden Winks and TJ Hernandez in this live stream. So I want you to be paying close attention to how have you been drafting, to what changes do you need to make in your drafts as you're moving forward, because there's a lot of green grass between now and the beginning of the season. You can make changes to your drafting strategy. That's why I'm having this weekly podcast. If you haven't checked out the other ones, I talk about reasons why you shouldn't be reaching on players. I talked about the importance of ADP and lots of other topics that you'll be able to see here in the Best Bell podcast. And there's more to come this offseason. In fact, I'm working on getting some people to draft together with me. So I'm excited for what the summer is in store for Best Bell Fantasy Football on Player Profiler. But before we get into tonight's topic, I want to share a little word from the man himself, Matt Kelly.
Let's take a moment to talk about Underdog Fantasy. Now, many of you have already signed up. Thousands have signed up from Player Profiler already over the years. Underdog has supported us since 2020. Much of what on Player Profiler is because of Underdog, because of their support. Get the Underdog app, plug in that promo code Underworld. I used to play Underdog just for the best ball drafts. The best ball drafts are amazing. These draft rooms fill so quickly, and you can win life-changing money. You want to take advantage of all the sleepers we talk about on this show? What better place than in an Underdog draft room to do that? And I recommend taking your Underdog play to the next level by diving into their NFL pick'ems. It's important to correlate those NFL pick'ems. You can pick both the quarterbacks and the wide receivers to exceed expectations. Correlate them, and you can 5x your payout. Bada bing, bada boom. Underdog Fantasy, the promo code is Underworld for an instant deposit match up to $100. Underdog is the truest friend of the Underworld.
That's right. Check out Underdog Fantasy. Use promo code Underworld. Today, we're going to do a couple things. We're going to talk about top risers and fallers over the past week. Then I'm going to get into, as promised, the strategy lesson for today. And then last, I'm going to evaluate some of the best ball teams that have been submitted to me over the past couple weeks. There were some that were submitted last week that I did not get to. We're going to get to a couple of them tonight. First and foremost, we're going to talk about the top risers from this past week. And this is not total points. Some places, some websites will be tracking how much a player changes in positional spots. And that may be important for identifying players that have moved. But what's more important for me is identifying players relative to their previous ADP. And these are the three biggest risers relative to their previous ADP, because the movement of a player in the first round by one spot, that should matter more than a player who moves five spots of ADP but is being drafted in round 12. That's how I'm looking at this, is it matters more. We're going to be looking at players' movement who may be overlooked if you're just looking at pure the amount of spots ADP movement. That's why Austin Eckler comes in at number one this week. He jumps from 11th overall, sometimes he was falling into the second round, to the 9.7. And for reference, that is a jump of nearly 15% of ADP since last week. That's massive. Over the last couple of weeks, Eckler has jumped 5% and 1.7%. So Eckler continues to rise. And this, I think, is due to the contract extension. It makes sense, right? The contract is settled. He's got a little bit more incentive to be playing for the LA Chargers. We know their offense is going to be very good this year. Austin Eckler continuing to rise. As much as we like the addition of Quentin Johnston, there wasn't any real addition to the Chargers backfield. It's going to be the Austin Eckler show here in 2023. And he has firmly cemented himself in that running back, mid-pack running back one territory. It wouldn't surprise me if Eckler bumps out Bijan Robinson by the time we get to July. It would not surprise me if Eckler gets there, but for now he's still behind Bijan Robinson in ADP, but he's been on the rise over the last 3 weeks. The next biggest riser is Marquise Hollywood Brown. Hollywood Brown is actually coming off of 2 weeks straight where he was dropping, but now because of the DeAndre Hopkins release, Marquise Brown has jumped 8 spots in the last week. That's nearly 11% of his previous ADP. Hollywood Brown is a target earner. We saw double-digit targets in almost every game that he played when Hopkins was not on the field and Brown was. So I foresee Marquise Hollywood Brown putting up mid-pack wide receiver 2 numbers if Kyler Murray is in the lineup. If Kyler Murray is not, then we're going to see a downward fall once again for Hollywood Brown. But I think getting into round six, I think round six is just fine for Hollywood Brown. Once we get into round five is where I will raise my eyebrows about Hollywood. But for right now, I'm okay with him continuing to rise. He's going to be the lead target getter. I think Rondale Moore will fit in nicely as a wide receiver too. I also wonder if the Cardinals are going to move Rondale Moore around a little bit and allow Greg Dortch to operate a lot in the slot, because Greg Dortch is also a very small dude, but Rondale Moore is more athletic. He's speedier. He had better draft capital, all of those things, which is why I prefer Rondale Moore to Greg Dortch. But I, if you're taking a late stab on Arizona Cardinals, Greg Dortch was able to have multiple games last year where he had double-digit targets and was putting up decent fantasy points for you in Rondale Moore's absence. So I think that that's a player that we're watching. And then also third round pick, Michael Wilson. I think he was third or fourth round. Nevertheless, middle rounds pick, wide receiver Michael Wilson is also someone to be keeping on the lookout here in the Arizona Cardinals wide receiver. One commenter said, there's no reason to rush Murray back. Yes and no. Yes, I see where a lot of the Twitter chatter is about Kyler Murray. He's coming back off the torn ACL. He's a mobile quarterback. The Cardinals are probably going to be bad. That all may be true, but they have a new head coach who's going to want to win. That's the thing about these NFL teams is the most underlying, they're all competitive. They all want to win, and they know that their good jobs are not secure year to year. So if you're losing, you're probably going to run out these players. And I don't see much of an advantage to tanking for Caleb Williams when you're not guaranteed the number one pick, because there are a couple other bad teams out there. But also, you've already got a pretty good quarterback in Kyler Murray. He's an above-average passer with great mobility, and things have just not clicked. The argument could be that Cliff Kingsbury just doesn't know how to use him, but I don't think you're making a massive upgrade with the number two or number three or number four pick, and you're not guaranteed number one. And I think that's dismissing the competitiveness of the Arizona Cardinals. So I'm a believer that if Kyler Murray is healthy, he's going to be throwing passes for the Arizona Cardinals. Now, if we look at the history of those quarterbacks who are coming off of ACL tears, like Robert Griffin III, Carson Wentz, you talk about Joe Burrow coming off the ACL tears, all of them came back and were okay for fantasy the next year. And it took a little bit for them to come back. They weren't as mobile. So I think you have to discount Kyler Murray's mobility pretty significantly, cut his rushing numbers in half. I think that would be what you need to do if Kyler Murray comes back. But I think Kyler Murray only misses like three or four games. I think if we're projecting six or seven games, that is mispricing and misaligning where Murray is at in his progression, because ACLs usually recover in about 9 months. That's back to game play. And Kyler got his surgery in January, the first week of January. So fast forward, that's week one. So he's going to bump right up to week one. And even if they hold him out, like Carson Wentz was held out a couple weeks coming off of his ACL tear a few years ago, Wentz was able to come back and played admirably in his return. Joe Burrow left, I believe it was week 11 or 12 of the 2020 season. He came back for 2021 and didn't miss a game. And we were all worried about Joe Burrow missing time. And Burrow was not a mobile quarterback, but he is able to move around in the pocket. So I think that this would force Kyler to stay in the pocket. And that means that the likes of Marquise Hollywood Brown, Rondell Moore, Trey McBride could see a little bump in their target volume and the pass volume as a result of Kyler's injury. So that's my take. I don't think the Arizona Cardinals are viewing Kyler as being out for half the season. I know there's been rumblings of it, but I think this is where you need to be buying in on Kyler Murray. I just saw in a draft on Underdog today, Trey Lance going ahead of Kyler Murray. What are we doing, people? I don't understand that pitch when it could be Sam Darnold. I don't think it will be, but I think if Brock Purdy is healthy, Brock Purdy is going to be the starter unless he completely implodes. I know I got derailed by the question by Michael, but it was a good question about asking whether the Cardinals are going to rush back Kyler Murray. I don't think that's going to be, I don't think that the Cardinals are going to rush him, but I also don't think that they're going to rush with him when he returns. Whew. Awesome. Thanks for sticking with me for that. We still have one more player to talk about in the top risers, and that is DeAndre Hopkins. He jumps four spots from the 44th overall back into the fourth round to a mid-pack fourth round pick. I think if he signs with Kansas City or if he signs with Buffalo, Buffalo is probably not going to happen, but maybe dark horse. The Browns have already come out and said that they're out on DeAndre Hopkins. but I could see DeAndre Hopkins landing in Kansas City and being the number one wide receiver. And that would really hurt my Travis Kelce shares. And also that would bump up his ADP probably to mid third round. I don't know if we could get second round DeAndre Hopkins if he goes to Kansas City, but I think mid third round, probably in the 32 to 30 range would be DeAndre Hopkins ADP. If I'm just trying to give a guesstimate, if he ends up on Kansas City, if he ends up on Philadelphia, I think it'll probably stay about the same and that'll hurt AJ Brown and it'll hurt Devonta Smith. If he ends up in Baltimore, he's going to, I think, skyrocket a little bit to the mid third, but it'll also hurt the rest of the wide receivers there. We don't know at this point, but Hopkins is officially a free agent that did go through the waiver transaction or the official transactions of the NFL today. So Hopkins is a free agent. He can sign with anyone. He is not restricted. The Cardinals are on the hook for over $22 million. Woof. Yes, DeAndre Hopkins, a riser. I like him as a wide receiver two on your teams. He's still accessing low-end wide receiver one numbers last year. So you should be buying into DeAndre Hopkins, even though his price is rising. In fact, Hopkins over the last 2 weeks has had positive increases in his ADP. Let's now shift gears to fallers. The furthest faller since last Tuesday, because I do this live stream podcast every Tuesday on the Player Profiler Network. And we have a reigning king, Josh Allen. Once again, the furthest faller over the last week. In fact, Josh Allen fell, what was it? Let me pull it up here. -9.5%. Josh Allen falling from 21 overall to 23 overall. This is the fourth straight week that Josh Allen has fallen 7% or more. Wild, wild stuff. But it's also not surprising. I talked about this on the last podcast. Josh Allen is secure. We know what he is. 35 to 40% of the time, he's going to give us a top five quarterback week. We know that's what we're going to get. But this is a sign of an overall trend of quarterbacks. You'll notice second here, the furthest faller is Jalen Hurts. Hurts has dropped only two spots, but that is -9.1% of his previous ADP. And Hurts has fallen each of the last 3 weeks. So we need to be noticing this overall trend. Oh, it's not Josh Allen. It's not just Jalen Hurts. It's also Justin Fields, who's not listed here. He's number four on the list. Justin Fields has fallen 4% or more each of the last 3 weeks. Kyler Murray has fallen at least 2% each of the last 3 weeks. Joe Burrow has fallen each of the last 3 weeks. Trey Lance has fallen each of the last 3 weeks. Patrick Mahomes has fallen each of the last 2 weeks. Jimmy Garoppolo has fallen each of the last 3 weeks. We've seen just quarterbacks fall and fall. And I talk about this as a general trend, like a macro trend. We're pulling out and viewing quarterback ADP. Why is this happening? We are getting more certainty about other positions. We are getting more certainty and more information about, for instance, the Arizona Cardinals wide receiver position. We are getting more information about Breece Hall and his leg and his knee. We're getting more information about everything. And we're willing to take more risks because we are closer than we were in February and March to the start of the season. The most stable assets are our quarterbacks. And if we can afford to take some risks and find our my guys, and also the research is coming in and the projections are coming in, people are starting to have stronger opinions and dive into the data that we had from last year. We're going to start to notice that those things are coming into play for this is my guy in the second round. This is my guy in the third round. And it just so happens that these elite quarterbacks who do put up tier-breaking performances hanging out in the second and now third rounds. Heck, I just drafted Jalen Hurts in the third round in a DK draft. Okay, so yes, Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen, all falling. Same thing with Joe Burrow. Garoppolo, Daniel Jones has dropped each of the last 3 weeks. So you're seeing Dak Prescott has fallen each of the last 3 weeks. Kirk Cousins has fallen each of the last 3 weeks. Quarterbacks overall are falling. So be willing to take it. Don't draft quarterbacks at ADP. Allow them to come to you in these coming drafts because quarterback ADP is still settling. That's my recommendation as we are moving forward. Finally, Bijan Robinson. I know we're getting a little ticky-tacky here. He's only dropped 0.6 of a spot, but that is -8% of his ADP. And this is probably some people now willing to take Austin Eckler ahead of Bijan Robinson as the running back too. I think that's going to continue. I mentioned that earlier, how Eckler was the biggest riser last week. He rose from spot 11, spot 9.7. So what goes up must come down. And if Eckler is rising significantly in that first round, then it's going to be Bijan Robinson, most likely the next running back up, who's going to fall. So Bijan Robinson here, this makes sense. And I've talked about this on numerous occasions. Bijan Robinson should not be your running back too. He's a safety blanket, and you're not taking a safety blanket in the first round, right? You're not taking safety. You're taking, I want to win my entire league. And I'm not convinced that Bijan Robinson, given the offense of the Atlanta Falcons, that Bijan Robinson can do that in that environment. So take that for what it will, for what it is. I'm going to talk about all of these players more as we go on with the season, but I wanted to give this recap of the biggest risers and biggest fallers because it's important to gauge the market and taking macro views that, for instance, how quarterback is falling, you aren't going to want to miss out on those as we move forward. Okay, let's keep her moving. Every week, I promise, I have a lesson for you. I have some takeaway. I have some gimme, and I want to give you this gift this week of sharing some information with you that may be more helpful. Some of you may be new to best ball, and I want you to be cognizant of this next lesson. How you build your house will determine what it can withstand. We talk about the three little pigs, right? The story of the three little pigs. I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house down. And one pig makes it of brick, one makes it of straw, one makes it of sticks, and the big bad wolf comes and he blows down the house made of sticks. He blows down the house built with straw, but he does not blow down the house built of brick. And you need to build your best ball team with bricks. And you need to put the bricks in the right spot, almost like Tetris, right? You can have the right player, but have all the wrong things raw around him. It may not be a brick on top of a brick on top of a brick. You need bricks, not just sticks, not just straw. You can't be grasping at straws. So how do you construct your roster to withstand a season? Because there are a lot of things that can happen in a season. You can have coordinators getting fired. You can have major injuries to the quarterback or to the wide receiver one. You can have injuries to the running back one. You can have defensive scheme shifts. You can have decimation on the defense, meaning that the offense has to throw more and they have to abandon the run. There's a lot of different pathways and narratives. There's a lot of different wolves that may be blowing on your metaphorical best ball house. So we want to look at what has survived, what brick laying has survived over the past couple of years, and use that information to consider some bumpers as Todd Burrows likes to call them. Ultimately, your roster construction does matter, and you'll see why. Also, I want to give shout out to Hayden Winks and TJ Hernandez. They're the ones who are providing this data. Hayden from Underdog Fantasy, TJ from 444 Fantasy. I want to take a look at these. These are the roster constructions and final counts of Best Ball Mania 3 teams in the finals. So these are the final, I think, like 441 teams. Nearly 40%, about 35-40% of the teams that made it to the finals were 2-6-8-2 builds. 95 out of 440. Okay, so like 36% approximately. A 2-5-8-3 build was 59, and 2-5-9-2 build was 51. So now we're talking about nearly half of the rosters that made it to the finals were competing for the big money, the $1 million, were two quarterback builds. Two quarterback builds. And they either had 5 or 6 running backs and 8 or 9 wide receivers with 2 or 3 tight ends. So you can see that it really does matter that you are only drafting probably 2 quarterbacks and maybe 3 tight ends. If we're looking here at the tight ends, because you, if you notice, it's in quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end structure. So 2-6-8-2 was the most popular. 2-5-8-3 was second. 2-5-9-2 was third. Fourth was 2-6-7-3. So a more balanced approach, and a 3-5-8-2 build, another unique approach, were also there. It wasn't until we got to the fifth most popular build that we saw 3 quarterbacks. But as we'll look all the way at the bottom, what didn't work? What did not work? Like, that snuck through. You had a 1 in 400 chance. Like, if you made the finals, it was 1 out of 400 for a 4-6-6-2 build. Like, quarterbacks, drafting 4 quarterbacks was probably not the way to go. A 4-5-8-1 build, only one team made it through. A 4-5-5-6-3 build, only 2 made it through. 4-3-8-3 build. There is no reason for you to be taking 4 quarterbacks in building and constructing your rosters for Best Ball Mania. Now, another one that snuck through is Hyper Fragile. There was only one of these 2-3-11-2 builds. You cannot go too heavy on the wide receivers and ignore the running backs, because running backs are very, very fragile. So if you're competing against other teams, not only are you limiting your possibility of who can score points for you, but you're also probably wasting spots with the wide receivers that probably didn't contribute to your team that you could have used for the running back position. That's the 2-3-11-2 build. Only one snuck through. So if we're constructing a team, the takeaways are probably that you most likely just want to stick to 2 quarterbacks, 5 or 6 running backs, at least 7 wide receivers. You can see 7 work, but 8 and 9 are the most popular. And then limiting yourself to 2 or 3 tight ends. Now, there were a couple 4 tight end builds that did get in, and I don't have the stats pulled up, but there has been chatter brought up by TJ Hernandez and others in the Best Ball streets about how 4 tight end builds are rare and have actually been very positively included in making it to the finals. Probably because not a lot of teams draft 4 tight ends, But also, if you're drafting four tight ends, it's probably that you are drafting four late tight ends. You're probably drafting in rounds 15, 16, 17, 18, and just taking shots. Because as we're building a team, the tight end position is one that's not going to be scoring a lot of points for you. In future podcasts, I'll be talking about the breakdown of what it takes to be a top five, what it means to be top 10, what it means to be top 18, what it means to be at least a flex play for your teams, and what you should be, how you should be viewing players, like in your player takes and their ranges of outcomes. And if you miss out on a Travis Kelce, or miss out on a spiking Mark Andrews, then you're probably as good of a shot to get a spike week in week 17 from one of four tight ends than from just your average Joe, your Cole Kmet, or your Pat Freiermuth. Like, sorry, guys. Those are usually like nice floor plays, but ceiling plays. Cole Kmet had a whole season where he didn't score a touchdown. Now, last year he scored 9, but at the same time, we're looking at the Bears team who brought in a lot of pass catchers, and we can't have a lot of confidence with that. So this is the first. This one is provided by TJ Hernandez. Then we're going to look here at playoff advance rate over expectation. Over expectation all 3 years. So we're looking at what made it to the finals, or what made it to the playoffs more often than your 2 out of 12, your 1 out of 6, your 16.6667% increase. Over expectation all 3 years was our 2673 build, our 2682 build, 2583 build, and our 3573 build. It seems across the board, the 2673 build was significantly higher than all of the others. But in BBM2, we saw a 2583 build advance over expectation nearly 3%, which is massive edge. So all three of these seem to be viable builds, the 2673, 2682, 2583, and 3573 builds. What do you notice about all of these? It's most likely that you're going to be drafting two quarterbacks, and most likely that you're going to be drafting three tight ends. If that's the case, those are 5 of your 18 spots. You have 13 spots to then mess around with. Is it going to be 6 and 7? Is it going to be 5 and 8? Or are you going to take a 3 quarterback, 3 tight end, then limit yourself to 5-7? Or are you going to take a 3 tight end build and go 2-5-8-3. One other thing you should notice, you're not drafting more running backs than wide receivers. You're going to be drafting more wide receivers. Now, this makes sense in two respects. One is that you're starting 3 wide receivers in Best Ball Mania 3. So you're going to need to fill those spots. You're only starting 2 running backs. So you only need 2 running back scores to hit. But because you're needing to draft 3, or you're needing to start 3 in your lineup, you're probably going to need more. Secondly, is the fragility of the running back position. Running backs are fragile. I talked about this in one of the previous podcasts. Check it out in the podcast playlist, where I talk about the fragility of the running back spot and their ADPs and how they shift so much. So if we're looking at limiting your exposure to fragility and limiting your exposure to risk, wide receivers are going to be less overall risky, and you need more of them. So that probably means you should be drafting more of the wide receivers. Yes. So that also makes sense. Those are some observations you need to be having as we're going through identifying these roster constructions. Now, what hasn't worked? Well, these are 6 constructions that have not worked any one of the 3 years the Best Ball Mania from Underdog Fantasy has been out. The 3-5-8-2 build, three quarterbacks, only two tight ends, has not paid dividends. The 3-4-8-3 build, so heavy on quarterbacks, heavy on tight ends, fragile running backs, probably not getting there. The 2-8-6-2 build, so running back heavy, ignoring wide receiver. The 2-8-6-2 build has not returned dividends. The 3-4-9-2 build, so very fragile running back, has not paid off. Only four running backs and you're starting two of them. Oh, and the flex play. Yeah, that's really limiting yourself. So you're hoping that the nine wide receivers are able to come through for you, but you're probably needing to spend one of those quarterback positions on another running back is what this is noticing. The 3-7-6-2 build is more running backs than wide receivers. We've already seen that be a folly. And the 3-3-10-2 build is just too many wide receivers when you need running backs. One last point. If you limit yourself to three running backs, then you're also playing the roll of the dice with the bye weeks. Bye weeks are a whole other lesson. It's in the queue to talk about. So it's in the future podcasts and live streams here on Best Bell Fantasy on Player Profiler. But bye weeks bite you in the butt. They really do. And especially if you have a lot of players who have shared bye weeks. Now, the comeback is, what about the stacking? If you're going to stack, you need to be cognizant that the other stacks are probably not going to be on the same bye week. Which is why, when you're going with a 2-8-6-2 build, you need to make sure that your bye weeks are not matching up. You cannot afford to take zeros at any of those positions. And especially a zero at a quarterback position. You can sneak by with zeros for 1 week in like a tight end position, but you cannot make that up if you take a zero at quarterback. Quarterbacks typically score around 18 points. The top five quarterbacks score about 24 fantasy points per game, 25 fantasy points per game. And so if you're missing out on a quarterback, you're already down about 20 points from trying to compete. And quarterbacks are typically the highest scorers. If you're getting a top five quarterback scores more than the top five running backs or wide receivers. Now, the elite, the running back one overall will score probably higher than the quarterback one. Same thing with wide receiver one overall. But like at running back five or at quarterback five, or wide receiver five, the quarterback is going to be the one who scores more points. They just have higher floors and can access some ceilings given that they're throwing to these players. So when we're talking about bye weeks, there is a fragility aspect to the bye week that can play a part, especially if you're stacking here. So all of this is in the context of, yes, like we're only looking through the lens of this roster construction. We'll talk about bye weeks. We'll talk about other aspects or views, but just looking through roster construction, knowing that the bye weeks can come into play, you just don't want, especially in your fragile builds, overlapping bye weeks. All right. A couple more graphs I want to show. This one is from Hayden Winks. This is from Best Ball Mania 3. When was it optimal to draft running backs in 2022? He makes a few notes, and I want to share these notes with you. The first note is that zero running back was optimal from rounds 1 to 6 in Best Ball Mania 3. As you'll notice, the red line is above your 1,500 points. So a little over 100 points a week, okay, about 107 points a week. And the red line of his zero running backs scores more than that through the first 6 rounds. Now it starts to dip at round 7, so you're starting to notice a difference if you go zero RB through 7 rounds. If you go through 8 rounds, it's really suboptimal, and through 9 rounds, it's even worse. You really don't have a lot of teams going zero running back through 10 rounds. You just, according to this, there weren't 300 teams who did that. But we can imagine that it would be extremely suboptimal based on the trajectory of the line. One running back would not be bad in rounds 2 through 5. So if you take 0 or 1 running back through rounds 2 through 6, that's fine. That's the takeaway. 2 running backs through round 3 were about average. Okay, about 1,500 points. Now, a couple other notes. 0 RB tanked, as I mentioned, in round 7 through 8. It was optimal to have 3 to 5 running backs by round 13. So you can take some late shots on running back. That is fine. But you need to have your core 3 running backs probably by around round 9, 10, 11, 12, even into round 13. Then finally, it's basically never optimal to have 8 or more running backs. You just can't even get to 1,500 points if that's the case. That is this little bit right here, significantly below even 1,475 points. And then it is optimal to have 5 or 6 running backs through round 18. So 5 or 6 running backs, that is fine. So what does this mean for roster construction? It's not only which bricks do you lay, but where do you lay them, right? Do you lay 2 or 3 quarterback bricks? Do you lay 5 or 6 running back bricks? Do you lay 7 or 8 wide receiver bricks? Do you lay 2 or 3 tight end bricks? And it's also, when are you laying them? When you're constructing your best ball house, using the analogy of the wolf, is the wolf going to be able to blow it over really easily based on this data? 0 running back and anchor running back seem to be the best way to lay your running back brick in the early drafts. Okay. Then Hayden brought up this chart, and it was, when was it optimal to draft wide receivers in 2022? It seems that early wide receiver dominated in 2022. And then if you don't have a wide receiver through round 6, you're done. Like, you can't go 0 wide receiver. You need to be laying wide receivers early and often in underdog. And that's partly because of the 3 wide receiver start. And it's partly because that's what everyone else is doing. You have to read the market. You have to know that other people are going to be wide receiver hungry as well in the best ball streets on underdog. There have even been some graphics brought up by Michael Leone, I believe, of ETR, where he showed the differences of ADPs on FFPC and underdog and other places. So he compared them, and it's clear that the wide receivers in underdog are being just pushed up. So it's optimal to have 3 to 6 wide receivers through round 7. You can't just go 0 running back or 0 everything else through round 7. You need to have running back or tight end. Maybe you're going Kelsey in the first round, and then you go wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver. Because those wide receivers, if we think about it, you know, the top wide receivers are giving us 50 to 60% of the time, making at least a flex play for you. So if we get 3 of those wide receivers, we're in good shape for making sure not only are we getting a nice floor, but what if that player not only gets a flex play level entry into our lineup, but also can get us maybe wide receiver 2 level or even wide receiver 1 level accessing ceiling. You need to almost peg, all right, this is my wide receiver 1. This is going to be my wide receiver 2. And this is a guy who can, the next player, maybe he's going to be a guy who rotates in my flex play or is my wide receiver 3. So Hayden also said, if you have 0 to 2 wide receivers through round 10, it's not even worth it to draft. You can't be going 0 wide receiver at all, but it is optimal to have 4 through 7 wide receivers, 7 wide receivers through round 13. and three wide receivers at least through round seven. You probably need more than that, though, at minimum three. Okay, and then 6 to 9 wide receivers through round 18, and it is never optimal to have more 10 or more wide receivers. You should have 9 or fewer wide receivers, but you can't have zero through the first 10 rounds. So there's a nice balancing act happening here, balancing stacking, balancing bye weeks, balancing laying the bricks in the right way, and then hoping that the house lasts through week 17 and then will eventually explode for you. In week 17, you're hoping the brick explodes in that week 17 matchup, because I've talked about the importance of week 17 as well. So check that out. And heck, this year, it's not being talked enough about that week 17 Best Ball Mania 4 is even more plus EV in week 16 and week 17. So check out that playlist as well. Check that out in the playlist. All right, so we'll do a quick recap here. You want to draft 2 or 3 quarterbacks and 2 or 3 tight ends. That's going to be your basis. Draft 5 or 6 running backs, 5 or 6. Draft 7 or 8 wide receivers. You can get to 9. Probably don't want to go down to 6. Never 10 or more. So 7 or 8, maybe 9. Draft 0 or 1 running back through 6 rounds, but 3 to 5 running backs by round 13. And draft 6 wide receivers as early as round 7, but as late as round 16. You'll be fine, but you need to make sure you get your wide receivers early and often, especially in underdog. Okay, you need to make sure that you have at least 6 wide receivers by round 16. That is the bare minimum. But you cannot wait on wide receiver. You can't just take 0 wide receivers through the first 10 rounds and then say, oh, I'm going to get 6 wide receivers in round 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Ha ha ha. No, that's going to be really suboptimal for you, for those players to be able to access the type of ceilings that you want them to, because having correct player takes is going to matter as well. So those are 5 bumpers, as Todd Burrows likes to call them, 5 points to take away from this. This is all in context. Do not take me out of context. There are other factors at play, and I'll talk about those in the last section of tonight's live stream podcast, where I'm going to examine some best ball teams. So let's do it. Let's do it. Part 3, analyzing best ball teams. I grade on a rubric. This is for those who are new. If those who are returning viewers, you know how the drill goes. I evaluate your player takes and upside. I talk about stacking, your team structure, how you drafted versus ADP, and your week 17 correlation, if applicable. And once again, I'm a tough grader. I'm real tough. So if I think this something is an F or a D, it's going to be bad. But I'm a teacher at heart. What can I say? I'll be a tough grader for you. Hopefully this makes you a better best ball player. All right, let's take a look at this one. Ma the Meatloaf FK gives me a DK team. And that's going to be led by Tua Tagovailoa, Breece Hall, James Cook, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Keenan Allen, Darren Waller, Terry McLaurin, Anthony Richardson, quarterback on the bench, Rashad Bateman, wide receiver on the bench, Dalton Kincaid as the backup tight end, Raheem Mostert, Ezekiel Elliott, Jalen Warren, Alec Pierce, Tyjae Spears, Chuba Hubbard, Tank Dell, Cedric Tillman, and Zach Evans. I give the player takes an upside an A. I like the upside of this team. I think even though Zeke is a free agent, wherever he lands, he's going to gobble up some useful weeks. So I don't mind his dusty butt being on this team, given Breece Hall, James Cook. I don't hate James Cook. I'm not a James Cook hater. He's got high efficiency. He'll sprinkle in some running back 2 weeks. I think the only downfall of this team could be if Breece Hall is not recovered at the pace that it could be. But I love Breece Hall's upside. If he returns to full form, he could be the running back 1 overall. if Breece Hall did not tear his ACL, he'd be arguably the 1.01 for 2023. So I like this player takes an upside. We'll talk about other aspects of this team here shortly, but I like the Tyreek Hill. I like the Jalen Waddle. Keenan Allen as your wide receiver three. Terry McLaurin as your flex play. Rashad Bateman as a possible rotating flex player wide receiver three. Yeah. Yeah, I like the player takes an upside of this team. Stacking, B+. We see the Tua, Tyreek, Jalen Waddle stack. That's a beautiful stack. We can't be upset at that. And then there's also the Anthony Richardson, Alec Pierce stack, which I don't hate either. I just wish that maybe there was a little bit more of the late stacking. Could you consider instead of Cedric Tillman, possibly Braxton Berrios? Or could you consider a Josh Downs later on instead of Tank Dell? I don't know if that would work out well with how the ADPs and the draft went in this one. I would have to see the draft board, but that's why it's not quite an A, because I think there are a couple other pieces that might have been useful for this team in the stacking arena. Team structure, A. Yeah, you've got your mid-round quarterback. You've went wide receiver heavy for this team. You got some nice value on some tight ends. I like the Dalton Kincaid and Darren Waller combo. So this is a 2-2 team, right? Two quarterbacks, two tight ends. And then just sprinkle in a lot of other running backs. Jalen Warren was a nice pick. Excuse me, I really didn't talk about him earlier, but I like him. The player takes an upside. He's one of my favorite later round running backs. His ADP is 166. I don't hate that in the 14th round, 15th round. Not bad. Not bad at all. Versus ADP, I give that a B. There weren't a lot of reaches. There wasn't a lot of falling here. The biggest reach looked like Alec Pierce, about a round ahead of ADP. And that's a stack with Anthony Richardson, so I won't penalize too badly for that one. And it is later. It's pick 150 instead of pick 167. So the ADP was a little later there. I won't penalize as much for that reach. But I did talk about reaches earlier in the previous podcast last week, how reaches can really destroy your team and you don't want to have too many of them. So I don't think this one is going to impede too badly. Week 17 correlation also would be, especially due to the stacking, and overall A- for this team. All right, we have one more brought to you by the Fantasy Dog Pound. If you haven't checked him out on YouTube, check him out. Fantasy Dog Pound, Pounders, hashtag Pounders. Make sure you're subscribed there. He puts out a lot of good content. Pat does. So let's take a look at this team here. Okay. Went a little earlier than I wanted. All right. Player takes an upside. I give this one a B, and it's partly that I don't like Donovan Peoples-Jones and I don't like Rashad White. Donovan Peoples-Jones is one of the worst PFF graded wide receivers in the NFL, at least among those wide receivers who had 8 or more targets last year. He's just bad. He's just bad. And Rashad White is also bad at running the ball. So I like his comeback with James Conner. I do like that. I like Anthony Richardson. I like Kirk Cousins. I like Matt Stafford, especially stacking with Cooper Kupp. We'll talk about the stacks here in a little bit. I like the George Kittle pick. Rashee Rice really late. Don't hate that either. Yeah, DeAndre Hopkins as your wide receiver three looks really nice now and could look even better in the coming weeks. So this team, player takes an upside. I'm going to penalize you for Rashad White and Donovan Peoples-Jones, but there are a lot of other players on there. I also don't hate Josh Jacobs as a round three pick. Okay, that's pretty good. Stacking, B-. We see the Kirk Cousins, KJ Osborne stack. I see the stack, but I'm not a huge fan of that's the stack you went with. I get that you're, but Kirk Cousins is your first quarterback off the board here. That's the issue that I'm seeing with this team is if you're banking on a pocket passer like Kirk Cousins, you're thinking he's going to spike. It is more than a round after ADP, and that is a value, but the stacking is weaker than I would want with my number one quarterback. And then the number two quarterback, Anthony Richardson, at pick 140 was a reach. We'll talk about reaches here in a second, but it's a naked Anthony Richardson. This is a rusher, fine, but there's not even a late round stack with Josh Downs or if you're picking a wide receiver, like instead of Tyler Lockett, I don't know if Michael Pittman would have been available there. Maybe that's a little too late for Pittman, but I think that's right for Michael Pittman around there. He may or may not have been on the board. So I think that there were stacking opportunities, or even instead of David Njoku at that point, just waiting for a Jelani Woods, if you're going to go with Anthony Richardson. And the last one here, Matthew Stafford, stacking with Cooper Kupp. You have to like that stack. But there's no one else. Not even the last round Puka Nacua, which is a sneaky, sneaky value at this point. Fourth, fifth round pick. BYU was one of the highest graded PFF wide receivers last year. He fits the build. And we know the answer isn't Ben Skoranek. We know the answer isn't any of the other wide receivers. It isn't Van Jefferson. Van Jefferson is your prototypical 15 to 17% target share guy, downfield threat. But how much of a threat, really? Like a couple boom games here and there. Maybe Puka Nacua can learn a thing or two from Cooper Kupp. So we'll see. But nevertheless, the stacking is a B minus. I expected a little bit more. Expected a little bit more stacking from Fantasy Dog Pound. Team structure A. You have to like how this is set up. You have three power quarterbacks. It doesn't look like you sacrificed a lot at running back either. It doesn't look like you sacrificed a lot at wide receiver because you went four wide receivers by pick 70. You know, you've got Kupp, St. Brown, Hopkins, and Lockett, and then rotational guys, spike week guys, KJ Osborne, DPJ, Rashee Rice, all there. And then finally, George Kittle, David Njoku, as well, our two power tight ends. I really love this team structure. Versus ADP, a C. We saw some reach on Anthony Richardson. We saw big reaches hanging around here. Late round picks, Rashee Rice and Chase Brown. I do like Dwayne McBride, hashtag Dwayne McBride, no matter what. But versus ADP, that's going to reaching for your second quarterback that late and then taking Matthew Stafford. One way or the other, this team needs to be penalized for it. Versus ADP, I think that was the problem, is reaching more than a round for Anthony Richardson as your quarterback two without a stack. And then finally, week 17 correlation is a B. Overall, a B. All right, that puts a wrap on today's podcast. Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in. I really appreciate you checking out Best Bell Fantasy Football podcast and live stream hosted by Player Profiler. Make sure that you're following me on Twitter at FF Stalder. You can follow Best Bell Fantasy at Best Bell Fantasy on Twitter. And I put out a lot of content there. I'm working on getting my projections up for Best Bell, bestbellfantasy.com. I'm also working very hard on getting an upside guide for y'all to be purchasing. I'm going to see if it's available on Amazon or in other places. I will keep you guys appraised of that. All right. In the meantime, make sure you guys are subscribed to the Player Profiler YouTube channel. Hit that subscribe button right now, especially if you like the content. And until next time, everyone, Bradley Stalder on behalf of Matt Kelly, Billy Muzio, and Theo Greminger, good luck in the best ball streets.
Hey, you like that video? Be sure to subscribe and activate those alerts so you get notified as soon as new videos drop. And be sure to check out playerprofiler.com. We have all the tools for you to dominate every type of fantasy league. We have a draft kit, Dynasty Deluxe, data analysis, DFS Dominator, and don't forget the player rankings to rule them all.